Hi, diddly ho, neighborinos. Welcome into the week 9 edition of Sunday Best. I'm your host, Jay Felicio, and what you can expect is a short, quick-hitting podcast that's reacting to the happenings in Sunday's games. I'm not going to hit every game. I'm not going to hit every player. But what I will do is hit the most impactful storylines, circle around the league, talk about some of Sunday's best performances, and a few of the worst. Then I'll wrap up with any injuries that have fantasy repercussions at the end of the show. And unfortunately, this week is probably the most devastating from a fantasy perspective so far this season. All this in 20 minutes or less, so your money back. After missing one game due to injury, Michael Penix returned in Week 9 to face the Pats and became the first quarterback to toss 3 touchdowns against them this season. It was one of his best fantasy performances of the season, but he wasn't very efficient. Penix went 22 for 37 for 222 yards and completed less than 60% of his passes, threw for fewer than 250 yards for the fourth time in 7 starts. He had a strong enough showing to be considered a solid superflex starter, but he's still too risky of an option to be a weekly start in 1 QB leagues. All 3 of those Michael Penix touchdowns went to Drake London, who made one spectacular catch after the other all game long. London had 9 catches on 14 targets for 119 yards and the trio of touchdowns. He accounted for 38% of the Falcons' targets, and it was his 4th straight game with 10-plus. He's a tad more volatile than you'd like to see from your top fantasy receiver, but there's no question he's a wide receiver 1. It may have taken a Ramondre Stevenson toe injury, but Travion Henderson finally got lead back duties for the Patriots in Week 9. The results were decent, 14 carries for 55 yards, 6 targets, 4 catches, 32 yards, and undrafted rookie Terrell Jennings frustratingly got the only touchdown between the two, but Henderson got the work on the goal line as well. He played 36 of 49 early down snaps, 8 of 9 third down snaps, and all 5 snaps inside the 2-minute drill. Henderson had about 80% of snaps on the day, but maybe the most encouraging sign was his usage in the pass game. It wasn't just getting targets in the backfield. Henderson lined up in the slot, out wide, and accounted for a team-high 34 yards after the catch. Jennings saw just 1 target. Now, it remains to be seen what the usage is going to look like when Ramondre Stevenson returns from his toe injury, but Henderson did enough to be considered an RB2 while Stevenson's out, and is hopefully the start of him taking over this backfield. The man with the best mustache in the league, Lions tight end Sam Laporta, easily had his best game of the season, 6 catches on 8 targets, 97 yards, and a touchdown. He was 2nd on the team in targets and receptions to Amon-Ra St. Brown, but tied the Sun God for the Lions' lead in reception yards. Laporta had a team-high 2.5 yards per route run on the day, and he played 100% of offensive snaps for the 3rd time in his career. After a slow start to the season, Laporta scored over 16 fantasy points for the 3rd time in his last 4 games. He's locked and loaded as a tight end 1 every week. J.J. McCarthy returned and had himself a hat trick in his first game action since injuring his ankle in Week 2. It wasn't a massive performance by any stretch of the imagination. He completed 14 of 25 pass attempts and totaled just 143 passing yards. But McCarthy sprinkled in 12 rushing yards, and one of his 3 touchdowns was of the rushing variety. He'll have some growing pains, and I'm not ready to declare him an every week starter in 1 quarterback or superflex leagues, but his performance is a phenomenal sign for the rest of the Vikings' fantasy assets and their fantasy value for the remainder of the season. Joe Flacco, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I besmirched your name. When you were traded to the Bengals, I said I wasn't interested from a fantasy perspective, and yes, I was wrong. Week 9 was the rock salt shoved and grinded into the wound as I had the pleasure of facing Joe Flacco in my home league, getting to experience firsthand the 40-year-old throw for a career-high 470 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and yes, so what, he threw 2 picks. Flacco is the oldest quarterback in NFL history with a 450-yard and 4 touchdown performance, averaging 43 pass attempts per game since joining the Bengals, and has thrown multiple touchdowns in every Cincinnati start. Joe Flacco has helped the Bengals score 80 points in the past 2 weeks and still lost both games. The Bengals are on bye next week, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but when they return, Flacco is a must-start fantasy quarterback in all formats. So, since Joe Flacco arguably had the best game of his career, so did the guy who he's targeted 53 times over the past 3 games, right? Right? Well, no. Also in Spanish, no. Ja'Marr Chase tied T. Higgins for the team lead in targets with 9, but it was Higgins who had himself a day. Don't get me wrong, Chase had a pretty good day himself, 6 catches for 111 yards, but Higgins came down with 7 catches for 120 yards, and more importantly, 2 touchdowns. Andre Yoshivas even got in on the action, coming down with 5 receptions on 7 targets for 66 yards and a touchdown. The bad news, Higgins got hurt with a minute 12 left in the game, making a catch on the go-ahead scoring drive. Now, it was late in the game, but he wasn't able to return after Chicago scored when the Bengals were attempting a desperation final drive. If Higgins misses time, Yoshivas could be a sneaky flex, but we won't have a clear picture until after the weekend bye. Chase Brown was back to his inefficient ways, rushing for 37 yards on 11 attempts for a paltry 3.4 yards per carry. But inefficient running doesn't really matter when you get 14 targets. I know I've been down on Brown most of the season and recently came around, but I have to say I do not like that he wasn't able to turn 25 opportunities into at least 20 fantasy points in a game where over 80 combined points were scored. Samaje Perine had been recently seeing more work, and it looked like the trend was going to continue, but Perine injured his ankle at the start of the second quarter and didn't return. That led to Brown playing 60 of Cincinnati's 62 offensive snaps. It's illogical to think that the ridiculous target share will continue, seeing it was only the second time in Brown's career he's seen more than 10 targets in a game. But if Perine is set to miss extended time, Brown could be in line for virtually all of the Bengals' offensive snaps in the backfield. Caleb Williams wasn't half bad himself, tallying 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, and 1 receiving. Yes, you heard that right, a receiving touchdown on a trick play, a double reverse on 4th down that ended with a strike from DJ Moore in the first quarter. Williams went 20 for 34, 280 yards, and chipped in 53 rushing yards on 5 carries. His sub-60% completion percentage isn't ideal, but these type of ceiling games are what I imagined he was capable of with the flashes of brilliance that we've seen from Williams this season. His Week 9 performance was a massive step in the right direction in our ability to trust him on a weekly basis. I'm not ready to declare Williams an every week start regardless of matchup just yet. He's going to be inconsistent at times, but the dream is still alive for a top 5 fantasy finish. Kyle Manungai was a monster against the Bengals, bearing the rock 26 times for 176 yards, averaging a ridiculous 6.4 yards per carry. The rookie added 3 catches for 22 yards and totaled 22.8 fantasy points without scoring a single touchdown. As long as DeAndre Swift is out, Manungai is easily a high upside RB2, and even when Swift returns, Manungai has shown enough to be considered a volatile but high-ceiling flex play. Happy Colston Loveland Week to all who celebrate. The first tight end taken in the 2025 NFL Draft had the best game of his short career. 6 catches on 7 targets, 118 yards, and 2 touchdowns, one of which was the game winner. Loveland broke a tackle and raced 58 yards to the end zone with 17 seconds left to put the Bears up for good and prevent a collapse of epic proportions. Chicago blew a 14-point lead with about 2 minutes to go, but the rookie tight end made sure that didn't matter. Loveland's breakout game coming against the Bengals isn't a surprise considering that they've allowed the most fantasy points to the position, but one thing to consider is that this game did come with Cole Kmet sidelined. Kmet was active, but left the game with a concussion with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. At that point, Loveland had just 2 catches for 14 yards. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy into the breakout game, but it is something to keep in mind. I'd expect Kmet to miss at least one game with a concussion, making Loveland a must-start tight end for Week 10. There's a good chance he'll prove he should be considered at least a borderline starter, even when Kmet returns. Jackson Dart threw for under 200 passing yards for the 3rd time in his last 4, but that doesn't matter when you have a rushing touchdown in nearly every game. The rookie had his 4th straight game with a rushing touchdown, and his 5th in his last 6 games. It was his 2nd straight start without a turnover. Dart completed 73% of his passes, but that number is a bit deceiving considering that 60% of his pass attempts were under 10 yards. His rushing prowess gives him a nice safe floor, and while his ceiling isn't quite what it could be if we had a healthy Malik Nabers and Cam Scataboo, it's still high enough to be considered a top 12 option. I was hesitant to start him in 1 QB leagues, but Dart proved to me that he's a must-start in all formats for the remainder of the season. RJ Harvey had just 2 rushing attempts for 5 yards, but had a career game through the air. Harvey held on to 5 catches for 51 yards on 5 targets and scored his 5th touchdown in the last 3 games. Harvey's role in the offense is growing, but he's still a risky flex play. More often than not, he'll need a touchdown to get over the 10 fantasy point threshold. The Panthers' backfield belongs to Uncle Rico, baby. Rico Dowdle played 74% of snaps, rushing for 5.2 yards per attempt. He had 25 carries, 3 targets for a total of 141 yards and 2 touchdowns. Chuba Hubbard had just 5 carries and 1 target for 17 total yards. And what's even more encouraging is that Dowdle got all 5 of the short yardage carries, including both of Carolina's rushing attempts inside the 5. Dave Canales stayed true to his word, and it looks like Rico Dowdle is the Panthers' starting running back for the rest of the season. He's a rock-solid RB2 for fantasy purposes. It technically wasn't the lowest fantasy output for Daniel Jones since he's joined the Colts, but it was by far his worst game. Jones completed 31 of 50 passing attempts for 342 yards, 1 touchdown, and 3 interceptions. He did rush for a touchdown, but he fumbled the ball 3 times, losing 2. If you're counting, that's 5 turnovers. Per next-gen stats, Daniel Jones had a 46% completion rate and threw 2 interceptions while being pressured a season-high 18 times. Jones was fine when he had time. 254 of his 342 yards came with a clean pocket where he had 68% completion rate, 1 touchdown, and did throw 1 pick. It's far from time to panic, but this was a meltdown of giant proportions for Jones. His issue has always been facing pressure, but the Colts have done a good job of keeping it away from him so far this season. If it does become a trend, there is a chance that Jones' revival could be short-lived. Brock Bowers is back, baby, and he brought the boom! 12 catches, 13 targets, 127 yards, and count them, 1, 2, 3 touchdowns. Coming into the game, the Jaguars had given up just 3 touchdowns to the tight end position all season long and had yet to give up more than 71 yards to a tight end in a single game. It's simple. He's back. He's locked and loaded as a must-start week-in, week-out tight end 1. Bowers may just live up to that round 2 ADP after all. I must have missed the memo, but apparently it was old head quarterback week in the NFL. Matthew Stafford joined Joe Flacco in throwing 4 more touchdowns, taking his total to a league-leading 21 touchdowns this season. Stafford threw all 4 of his touchdowns while being blitzed, after throwing all 5 of his touchdowns last week while being blitzed. His 9 total touchdowns while being blitzed are the most for any player in a 2-game span since 2016. Stafford has thrown 16 touchdowns and 0 interceptions against the blitz this season. Do not blitz this man. Period. He doesn't offer the rushing upside some of the elite quarterbacks may, but Stafford's back is strong enough to carry your fantasy team. Shout out to my guy Laquan Jones. You were right, my friend. Stafford is balling this year. And as for injuries, Week 9 was quite a doozy. As a reminder, I record this during Sunday Night Football, so most of the injuries, there's not a whole lot of information. Just like to go through them to make sure that you're aware of the majority of the major injuries so you can keep track of what's going on for your fantasy teams. C.J. Stroud suffered a concussion early in the game and didn't return. Matthew Golden suffered a shoulder injury in the 3rd quarter and didn't return. Aaron Jones sprained his AC joint but is expected to be ready for Week 10. Kayshon Boutte suffered a hamstring injury in the 2nd quarter and did not return. Puka Nacua had a rib injury late in the 3rd quarter on a rushing attempt, did not return. Brian Thomas Jr. has an ankle injury, possibly a high ankle. He did come back into the game, but that does not mean he's in the clear. Keep an eye on practice reports there, because Dyami Brown also suffered a concussion. The 2 most devastating injuries of the week, Tucker Kraft was carted off the field, and I normally don't cover anything from the Sunday Night Football game on this show because I'm recording while it's going on, but I had to cover this because it's such a major story. Jaden Daniels suffered a devastating dislocated elbow that honestly made me audibly gasp while watching the game. He's almost assuredly out for the rest of the season, but there's no official word on the injury at the time of recording. Most importantly, prayers up for Jaden Daniels and all the players who were injured in Week 9. Most importantly, prayers up for Jaden Daniels. Most importantly, prayers up for Jaden Daniels, Tucker Kraft, and all the players injured in Week 9. That's going to be it for the Week 9 edition of Sunday Best. I apologize if my voice was a little raspy. My wonderful children decided that they wanted to share cold with me, but I pushed through, got this out for you guys. I will be back next week, Week 10, double digits. Same bat time, same bat channel. Always remember, choose love, not hate.